Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on the show, Kimmy Yoshino, the founding editor-in-chief of the Baltimore Banner, is leaving the news platform that she helped create to become the managing editor of the Washington Post. So I'll speak with Kimmy Yoshino, and as well, we'll be joined by Guardian columnist Margaret Sullivan and Juan Manuel Benitez of the Columbia Journalism School, and we'll talk about the changing landscape of journalism. So they join me tomorrow, and joining me now is Deborah Rutter. Until February of this year, she was the president of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, a position she held for nearly 11 years. Not too long after his inauguration, President Donald Trump fired the board of the center, including its president, David Rubenstein, and installed a new board with himself, the president, as chair. That board fired Deborah Rutter and made a series of allegations about financial mismanagement and the center being in disrepair. Ms. Rutter has strongly refuted those charges, and she joins us today on Zoom to talk about it. Deborah Rutter, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Great to be with you.
It's great to be with you. And full disclosure, you and I have known each other at least tangentially for quite a while. I work very closely with your dad, a terrific guy, Marshall Rutter. He is no longer with us, but was always delighted for the pleasure of working with him and in my other incarnation earlier in my career.
that's just so wonderful. Thank you for that little heartstring moment for me this morning. Thank you so much.
So when it came to leaving the Kennedy Center, you had announced prior to the president's decision in February that you had intended to leave the center at the end of this year, the end of 2025 in December. Take us back through the timeline of what happened. You made that announcement, and then it ended up leaving earlier than planned.
Yes, I have. I'm a big believer in important and careful transition planning for leadership and succession planning. Institutions, particularly ones as complicated and as important as the Kennedy Center, really need to have thoughtful succession planning. And David Rubenstein and I had really worked out a plan and gone back and forth. Would he leave and then I would onboard a new chair, or would he, I would leave and then he would onboard a new CEO. With the election, we felt having David in the chairmanship would be best because he had a good working relationship with President Trump for many decades, but especially during the last term. And so we decided that it would be most appropriate for me to step down. And so we made that decision at the end of last calendar year, announced it at our annual meeting in January. The idea is really, after 11 years, I have done a lot of important work for the center, but it's time to hand it off to the next generation of leaders. It was in a really great place. I felt so confident and comfortable and pleased with the work that we had done together and the leaders that we had brought along and promoted and given opportunity to. So the center was in a great place. I felt fantastic about being able to hand it off at the end of the calendar year. A few more things, a handful of projects that I felt like I could make a pretty big influence with, and that would leave the institution in an even stronger position, but that was not to be.
How did you find out that you were going to be relieved of your duties?
Well, there were hints in the days leading up to it when we had communication from the Office of Presidential Appointments that they were going to terminate all of the individual board members who had been appointed by President Biden, we also learned that he was planning on terminating David Rubenstein, whom he had reappointed, that President Trump had actually reappointed David to be the chairman. And we learned on the Friday, February 9th, that this was going to take place. Maybe it was Friday, February 7th, that was going to take place. And so over the course of the weekend, we had communications with the board members and indirectly through the White House. And by Monday morning, it became apparent that indeed all of those individuals were terminated and that they were appointing new individuals. So it was a little bit of a trickling in of information. Ultimately, I learned on the morning of the board meeting of Wednesday, February 12th, that indeed the first action would be to elect President Trump as chairman of the board, and that the second action would be that I would be terminated.
Because you, of course, report to the board. So once there's a new board, they could vote to terminate your employee. And we should mention that, you know, at the time, there were people like Karine Jean-Pierre, who was the press secretary for the Biden White House, Mike Donilon, who's a longtime ally of the president's, Shonda Rhimes, the television producer who had hosted fundraisers for the Biden campaign, prior to his dropping out of the race, as well as Trump allies. I mean, Pam Bondi was on there. Lee Greenwood, the country western singer, was a fixture at conventions and Trump rallies and stuff. So it wasn't as if the board of the Kennedy Center was completely a slate of people who were just affiliated with the Biden administration. And I suppose, is it unprecedented for a president to come in and say, I want to have some people who are, politically aligned with me on the board? It's certainly unprecedented having himself named as the president of the board himself. But in general, was it unprecedented for, a new administration to come in and put people on the board that are politically aligned?
You're accurate on all of this, Tom. In fact, a good portion of the time, I worked with a full board of individuals who were appointed by President Trump. And until January, the 30 out of 36 were appointed by President Trump. And in January, a new rotation took place. And that's when the Biden appointees came in. But this was completely unexpected because it had never happened before. And we have for 50 plus years really been bipartisan in all of our work. Yes, we had a chair in the past who was appointed by President Bush and who clearly was a Republican. And then, yes, we did clearly have a Democrat appointed by President Obama, et cetera. But the work of the board was always bipartisan, and there was never a moment where there was sort of a need to come in, clean house, take over in order to change the direction. So this is completely unprecedented in the history of the Kennedy Center.
The president seems to have complaints that are kind of in three different buckets. The first is the programming. He's complained about that. He says he's going to make the Kennedy Center great again, use a phrase he's quite used to using. He was concerned about the physical plant itself, the physical condition of the Kennedy Center, which is a very big, sprawling complex, has lots of different performance spaces. And he was concerned about financial mismanagement. Let me ask you to respond to all three of those things and to respond to say what is your understanding of the reasons you were let go? What do you think the president really was upset about? What does the president want to change that he thought you would not be the proper person to change it for the remainder of this year?
Well, I have to say that there were no reasons given for my termination. He mentioned drag brunches and woke programming, but in fact, it's kind of confusing because some of the programming for next year is absolutely, programs like Mrs. Doubtfire or Kinky Boots, which are programs with cross-dressing or drag artists, as it were. Woke programming is something that I think is defined by perhaps President Trump himself. We were very, very focused on ensuring that the National Cultural Center, your National Cultural Center, represented every American, and that we had programming so that every individual could feel and see themselves there. Whatever their art form that they might be interested in, you could find it at the Kennedy Center. And we were in a constant evaluation to ensure that we were doing that. But I feel like we had broadened the programming and welcomed more people and more people from all over our country and around the world to the Kennedy Center. So there's never been a full evaluation of what has or has not worked according to the president and the people he has installed. I will tell you that the number of programs that are being presented has greatly diminished. And I will tell you that the whole programming around community outreach, or as we called it, social impact, has been fully eliminated. There remains some of the free programs, but other than the more popular ones called Millennium Stage, the vast majority of those free programs have been canceled. And yet, as I say, there's been no full evaluation, and nobody has reported to me that says this program was no good and this program is what we're replacing it with today. On the topic of in disrepair is really pretty extraordinary. We just opened a brand new 7,500 square foot exhibit to John F. Kennedy about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. It has received remarkable acclaim for its presentational style, for its openness, for its more transparent understanding of who he was and why a performing arts center is named in his honor. We just completed a full renovation of all of the public spaces at the center. Everything is brand new and fresh, and there is a rotation for the replacement of seats in the theaters because, of course, when you have a lot of people coming in, they sit in those seats. They need to be replaced. But you have to do that with careful timing so that the programming can still continue to take place. What is deferred maintenance, and this is true everywhere in every federal building, save the Capitol of the United States, is that there is deferred maintenance, and we have it on a five-year plan for upgrade and attention. And those are the spaces that are not seen by the public. So yes, the pump room needs support, and the roof will eventually need to be replaced, but those are not ones that are public facing. And it is deferred maintenance, and deferred maintenance is, all of the maintenance is funded by the federal government. This was not Deborah Rutter saying, I want to hire this artist as opposed to replacing the air conditioning. This is about how much we have in resources coming from the federal government to take care of the building itself. But I will say that if you were to type in and search federal building deferred maintenance, you would see that there are buildings everywhere across this country, and especially here in Washington, D.C., that have pretty significant deferred maintenance. On the third topic around financial mismanagement, it's just the individuals do not have any understanding about nonprofit arts management. And there have been bold accusations, not confirmed or firmed up, or any specific information that has been shared publicly. And I can tell you, as a very conservative financial manager who's always concerned actually with the long-term stability of the institution, that our financial management, our financial position when I left was probably better than it had ever been, focusing on working capital reserve, increasing our endowment, full transparency with all my staff. So,
yeah, and that is an opinion and an assessment that's held by a number of people who've taken a look at it. And it's not unusual for the Trump administration to make accusations without evidence. And I think when it comes to the financial status of the Kennedy Center, this is another one of those instances. We're going to take a quick break. Let me ask your indulgence, Deborah, to stick around for a little bit more to continue our conversation. Deborah Rutter is the former president of the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington. We'll have more with Deborah Rutter on the other side of a quick break. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest is Deborah Rutter, a longtime arts administrator and advocate. She was the executive director of the Seattle Symphony and the Chicago Symphony before being appointed in 2014 as the first woman to be the president of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. Her tenure at the Kennedy Center was, by any measure, full of important advances and accomplishments for the nation's busiest performance venue. But despite a record of accomplishment, President Donald Trump fired her in February, replacing the board of directors of the center with his supporters and installing himself as the chair of that board of directors. As he often does, the president employed the catchphrase of the MAGA movement in declaring that he was going to make the Kennedy Center great again. In fact, ticket sales have been slumping ever since Deborah Rutter's replacement, Trump loyalist Richard Grenell, took over. Deborah Rutter joins us on Zoom. We have a few minutes left this afternoon. If you want to join us, our number 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. So, Deborah, Richard Grenell, who succeeded you as the director of the center, referred to the social impact initiative that you alluded to before the break, which you began back in 2019, 6 years ago. He referred to it as criminal mismanagement of funds for the Kennedy Center. This seems to be a particular point of it has gained the ire of the Trump administration. What is the reason that you wanted to implement this program and by social impact when it comes to the arts? What do you mean?
I'm sorry. It's just so amusing when you think about criminal mismanagement of funds to support artists. The social impact programming was about investing in artists, individuals, and smaller organizations for the outcomes that arts alone can really achieve. We like to call it art for non-arts outcomes. We worked with about a dozen local arts organizations or community cultural organizations, I should say, on a two-year basis. So over these 6 years, we've reached, you know, several dozen. We invest in them. We invite them to help come and to curate programs at the Kennedy Center. We give them space to work. It's about investing in our own community. We also would invite artists to come in and workshop new works at the Kennedy Center. I think perhaps the misunderstanding is that in programs like that, you don't do it for financial remuneration. You do it because you are raising philanthropic dollars to invest in artists and arts organizations, and you expect no earned revenues in return. And I think if you don't understand what nonprofit arts management means, that perhaps you would think, yes, we are raising money to develop programs to support community. We were very, very interested in ensuring that the Kennedy Center, this big, magnificent building on the side of the Potomac was not just for the what you would consider the fancy arts where people come and get dressed up and come in to see a show, but rather a really true cultural organization in our community that is invested in our community and engaged deeply in our community. We learned as much from the artists that we worked with as they received in opportunity at the Kennedy Center.
There are many artists, people who've been affiliated with the Kennedy Center who are no longer agreeing to be part of the Kennedy Center. There are a number of artists who were booked to do performances there that decided to cancel once the board was dissolved. You were terminated. There's an awful lot of people who are simply going to, you know, stay away from the Kennedy Center. Other artists are making the decision to go ahead and perform there. If they, you know, people get booked for these kinds of things 2 years in advance. So there's a lot of people who've had a lot of time to think about this and will have time moving forward. But how do you see this playing out? I mean, do we have room for compromise? Are there going to be people involved with the center that can leaven what the Trump administration is trying to do here? And forgive me, but you've only got a few, you've got 30 seconds left. We have about 30 seconds left.
Ultimately, artists need to be able to perform in great venues, and the Kennedy Center is a great venue. If that space can be safe, welcoming, and supportive to the artist should go and perform there, as and when that venue is that for artists. Mm-hmm. And there are many artists who do feel that way now, and I am glad for them. And I say to our audiences, go and support the artists. Support your artists at all times.
And we're going to have to call it there. Deborah Rutter, thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's it for us today.
Great
coming
to
up tomorrow, a conversation with Kimmy Yoshino. She's just left the Baltimore Banner. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.